Paul is preaching to those in Rome, sin, salvation, and now sanctification. So he has talked about those that have been saved by the grace of God are to yield their members to righteousness and unto holiness. They are to reckon themselves dead to sin. They are not to let sin reign in their mortal body. And the only way that we can do that is because we've been saved by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. It's not because of anything, our power or our ability. But when he gets to chapter number 7, he is still talking about sanctification. Now, after you have sin, salvation, sanctification, there should be service to God. That'll be just a little later, but he is still dealing with sanctification. Now, let me just say this. If you cannot be saved by the law, you can't be sanctified by the law either. If you are dead to sin, then you can also be dead to the law. Now, it doesn't mean that the law is bad. It's just that we're not trying to live by the law to be sanctified. We are justified by Jesus Christ. He lives within us. He gives us the ability to live a holy life. There's a lot of people who want to throw holiness and sanctification out the window. My friend, it is as much a part of salvation as service is. Sanctification is a part of being a Christian. And so I want us to read the first 6 verses here in Romans 7. And I want to preach on this subject today. You are free from the law. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of letter. May God help us in the reading of His Word today. And Lord, we ask that You would be with us. I realize that many would think this might be one of those hard sayings. But it is just true that just as a married couple, when one dies, they are free from that marriage. And when we got saved by the grace of God and have been united with the Lord Jesus Christ, we are free from sin and the law, and we have been married to another to live in holiness and sanctification. God help in the preaching today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, the primary focus of Romans 7 is sanctification, but it also is about the law. And the reason I say that is Paul speaks or refers to the law at least 23 times in this chapter alone. If we could just go back for a snapshot here and go back to chapter 3 and verse number 19 and 20, we would read these words. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And we are guilty before God. We are condemned because of our sin. He goes on to say in verse 20, in relationship to the law, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And of course we know that in the book of Galatians when Paul wrote his very first book. He said that the law is our schoolmaster, and basically it teaches us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody is going to be able to keep the law for salvation, and nobody is going to be able to keep the law for their sanctification. Now, you can make anything an idol. Let me say that again. You can make anything an idol. The Jews had done that with the law. They had made the law an idol. They had made it an idol so much that they decided that they would add to the law. And we've dealt with that in the Gospels, or when Jesus would preach against the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, and they decided that even their oral traditions that they had added to the law, in many times they considered it more important than the written Word of God. We know that's not true. Now you could look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now here's the message in case you pass out and die before I get to the end of it. We, just as we are free from the ruling power of sin, Romans 6, we are also free from the rule of the law. We're not sanctified by the law. We're sanctified by living our life holy, and as we said earlier, yielding our members as instruments of righteousness, we can be dead from sin. Now, if you're saved, you're saved from the penalty of sin. Praise God. But God, in our everyday life, wants us to be saved from the power of sin. How do we do that? Obey God. Live our life according to God. Not going to the law and say, I must do this, I must do that, I must do this, I must do that to be sanctified. Listen, you have the freedom in Jesus Christ to serve Him. Faithfulness to the law came to the superseding faith in the God who gave the law. In other words, I said you can make anything an idol, and they did make the Jews made the law an idol. But they thought the faithfulness to the law should overcome faith in God who gave them the law. Now I want you to understand, not only are believers free from the ruling power of sin, but we are likewise free from the rule of the law. This was very important matter as Paul was writing to those in Rome. Many of these people that Paul wrote to, listen to me, they were Jewish and they were strictly adhering to the law since they were a child. So this was very difficult for Peter. When God came to Peter in the book of Acts and showed him all of the animals that were excluded from the Jewish people eating those things in the law, God said to Peter, Peter, you are no longer under the law, you are under the grace of God, and you can eat these animals. And remember what Peter said? God forbid, God, I can't do that. I've never done anything that since the law. You've been saved from the law, Peter. So this was something that the Jewish believers had to deal with. And praise God they did, because now we can have bacon and sausage and ham hocks or whatever it might be. You know, listen, if you adhered to the law thinking that was going to make you some kind of sanctified, you wouldn't be able to eat pig. And I'm telling you, I have known people in my lifetime who thought they were spiritual because they didn't eat pig or whatever it might be. I'm just telling you, God help you is all I can say. So not only were the Jewish people that were adhered to the law since their childhood and now they were free in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, my friend, freedom in Jesus Christ is real. Amen. Me and my wife, we were just talking about this. We were just talking about, people have a whole wrong idea of being saved and sanctified. Ever since me and my wife have been saved in 1984, we were talking about, we don't miss that old life. We don't miss the things that the old life brought us, and we thought, well, this, you know, the world says that drinking and alcohol and smoking and dope and all that, they say, oh, that's fun. That's what you need to get a hope. No, listen, when you have Jesus Christ and you're saved by the grace of God, there's a whole new life to be lived. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Listen, you need to be saved by the grace of God. You're not saved by the keeping of the law. And you're not sanctified by the keeping of the law. Ye are free to do that which is right. People go, I'm free to do whatever I want. Well, go ahead. I'm free to do what God wants me to do. That's what real freedom is all about. Now, not only were there the Jews, but we also recognized there were God-fearing Gentiles who had left the paganism of the world and all of the things that we've even read when we've preached through the book of 1 Corinthians and that Roman culture. And they struggled maybe to accept the truth that they were free from the law upon trusting Christ. Because after all, many of the Jews said, you got to do this. Remember what the church in Jerusalem had declared? You don't have to be circumcised to be saved and to be sanctified. But yet that's what some of these people were teaching. Here's the whole idea. Justification by faith alone states it is impossible to be declared right with God by virtue of keeping the law. It's impossible. Paul makes it very clear that just as justification does not come by the adherence to the law, neither does sanctification. That raises several issues for believers. Well, what role does the law have? How will believers live right if they're no longer subject to the law? And Paul is going to address some of those matters. Now, let me tell you, when he talks about this, he shows us that the law has dominion over a man as long as he is alive, especially the unregenerated man. Look at verse number 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. The law reveals that man does not meet God's standards. That's what the law does. Schoolmaster shows us who we really are. We're sinners in need of a Savior. I think about this illustration, and I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but I want you to think in your mind, if you know anything about the rich young ruler that was found in Matthew chapter 19 in verses 16 through 23. When he came to Jesus, listen to this, and you can read this, and I'm not going to go read it for time's sake, but when he came to Jesus, he believed in his heart that he conformed to God's laws. He goes, oh, I've kept the law since my childhood. And Jesus gave him some things, and he goes, oh, I've done all that. I've done that from my very youth. I mean, and he was looking for the law to justify him. And when Jesus began to probe a little bit deeper into his life, the young man went away sad. You know why? Because he was guilty of covetousness. And Jesus said, well, I tell you what, to this young ruler, you say you've done all that stuff? Go and sell everything you got and give it to the poor and follow me. And he passed out and died right there. He really did. He needed, I mean, he didn't really, but I mean, facetiously speaking, he needed what you need, and he needed what I need, and he needed what everybody needs, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. But he remained, listen to this, under the rule of the law. And he went away unjustified. He went away lost. A person's bondage to the law must be severed in order that they might put a new relationship with Jesus Christ. Man's law operates within what we might say certain boundaries. Think about this. The laws of the United States government that we have in our country are not effective in Mexico. If you go to Mexico, they're going to have a different set of rules. When a traveler crosses over a country line, he enters into a new jurisdiction. Just like this. Listen to this. When a person dies, and that's what salvation is. Remember we talked about a person has been planted, the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Remember that? Let me tell you something, my friend. The law no longer has claim on somebody that dies. They're no longer under that. Now, he gives this illustration of marriage. And his main point is about the rule of law. He doesn't give an account of all the biblical teaching regarding marriage, but he does say that a wife is bound by the law to her husband as long as they both are alive. Death that takes away the marriage relationship, which is binding while they are both alive. And the Bible talks about a lot of things like that. Well, listen, when you got saved, you died with Jesus Christ. Everybody got this? Paul, if a husband dies, that wife is free to remarry. Marriage is a physical union and can only be broken by a physical cause. And in verse number 4, Paul makes his point regarding the believer and the law. The wife represents the believer, really, if you look at it like this. The old husband represents the law, and the new husband represents Jesus Christ. We're dead to that, and we're married, in this sense, to Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't say that the law died. In fact, the law is very much alive. Instead, it's the believer who died. And we looked at that in chapter number 6. If the wife died in the illustration, the only way she could marry again would be come back from the dead. But that's exactly what Paul wants to teach. When we trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, we died to the law and we're supposed to be dead to sin. But in Christ, we arose from the dead and now are married, if you want to put it that way, or united to Christ to live a new kind of life, not the old life. Hey, when you see a dog go back to its vomit, it's a heartbreak. In the sense of a Christian going back to an old life. I'm telling you, me and my wife, we were just talking about this. I don't want to go back to that life. I have no desire to go back to the vomit of the world. We've been saved by the grace of God. We don't miss that stuff. We're dead to it. We are to reckon ourselves alive unto God from the dead. And we are to have our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. The Christian life is not difficult. It's just that people make it difficult. I'm going to tell you something right now. Just as you have died with reference to sin, and we go back to chapter 2, verse 2. What shall we say then? Chapter 6, just as a reminder. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? All right. Since we have a new life, we are free to be in Christ and to do what the Lord would want us to do. That's exactly the message that we have. You know what the truth is? When we were married to the law, that was a cruel marriage. In your flesh, you can never please that demanding husband called the law. Do this, do that, do this, do that. The law offers no assistance in meeting the standards. But now, praise God, we're under the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, he's talking to saved people here. You can't talk about sanctification to a lost person. They'll say, oh, there's Baptists, all their rules and regulations. No, we're free in Christ. We're not free to sin. We're not free to do whatever we want to. We're not free to live our life as we want. We're free in our liberty to live a life that is pleasing to God. Amen. And people outside of salvation sometimes don't just get that. But marriage to the law was cruel. We're blessed to be have salvation in Christ. The one who, listen, rose from the dead. Now, when you're married to Christ in this sense of the authority of Christ, let me tell you, while the law was cruel, Jesus is compassionate. He is loving. He gives grace. And the word grace means that he gives us assistance. He helps in time of need. One of my favorite verses is that we can go boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy in time of need. One of my favorite definitions of the words of grace is God's help. And if you're from the South, it'd be help. God, help me. That's what God's grace is. Being under His authority doesn't grant liberty to live in sin. These people that say that, they are, well, I'm going to be nice. That's not what the Bible says. Because I hear people say, oh, I'm free in Jesus to do whatever I want. Well, I'm in free in Jesus to do what Christ wants me to. That's what the Bible talks about. Being under His authority doesn't grant me liberty to live any way I want. God forbid, chapter 6 says. It grants the desire and grace to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and to please God. Listen, you just ask a question. If I do this, will God be pleased? If I go here, would God be pleased? If I wear this, would God be pleased? If I do this, would God be pleased? If I see this, would God be pleased? That'll answer a lot of questions, and you go, well, I want to please God because I have liberty in Jesus Christ. And you can live a fruitful life in the power of grace. Look at verse number 5 here. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. All right? So when we lived the lost life, the unchristian life, the unsaved life, we were filled with sinful desires. The word motion refers to our sinful passions. Rather than being controlled or curbed by the law, they were aroused by the law. When you tell a child not to do something, I'm going to tell you something right now. He by nature wants to do it. I'll never forget one of the things that we did with our grandchildren as they were growing up. They would come to our house and we would have these. We've always had fireplaces, not the kind you put wood in, the kind you turn the switch on to. And I don't want all that mess. And you know, oh well, preacher, you just don't know what it's like to have a real fire. It's a real fire because it's hot. It's just that I don't have to go get the wood like I did when I was a kid. See, there's certain things that will mess you up when you're a child. Like when your dad makes you go get the wood every day and stoke the fire and make sure. When I got big, I said, I ain't doing that. I'm going to buy me one of them fireplaces where you flip the switch and then you flip the fan and it blows out. But the one we have now doesn't even have a glass, and I like it even better. But my wife is terrified by it when little children come over. And so before it was a glass, and all of our grandkids, every one of them, they were little, they crawled, they saw the bright light, they saw the glowing of the fire, and they immediately wanted to crawl toward that. And I would say, no, no. And my voice is pretty loud. And they would, they'd pucker their lip up. And then they would watch you, because kids are wicked sinners who imitate their wicked parents. Somebody say amen. Oh, I can't believe you say that. Oh, and then these mothers, oh my child, he's so cute. Yeah, he's a cute little wicked sinner who will love to go to the fire, and you have to teach them. No, no. Now, by nature, they want that fire. They want to touch that glow. And if you're not careful, and they get outside, and so I'm just telling you that you can do whatever you want. It's your business. But I'm going to tell you my business. We never child-proofed our house. We kept everything like it was, and we just told them what was right, what was wrong, what was no, what they couldn't touch, what they could touch. And by the way, the older you get, they can touch anything they want. You know, well, they're going to break it. Well, so what? Break it and we'll get another one. Except the fire. That's a no-no. But by nature, they want to do wrong. By nature, you want to do wrong. There is something in you that makes you want to touch the freshly painted bench, even though the sign plainly reads, caution, wet paint. How do I know? Because I want to walk out there. Yeah, it's wet. Well, hey, Goober, the sign already told you it was wet. Hey, Goober, the Bible told you what to do and what not to do. And your sinful nature tends to want to do whatever the Bible says. Don't do that. But in Christ, you're free to obey God. When you tell the child not to touch the glass where the fire is coming from, by nature, they want to go there. We have a natural appetite for the forbidden. That is the motion of sin that is talking about in verse number 5 that we tend to pursue even down to a destructive pass. So you know what the law produces? Sin and death. Paul returns to the truth in verse number 6, but saying this, "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein ye were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We are dead to the law that we might have a new life by the Spirit of God that lives within us." And by the way, can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit of God that lives within inside a man is able to say no.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Peaceful.
Amen.
And how many times do we, in the Spirit of God within us, warns us, rebukes us, corrects us, tells us, and we step over that boundary anyway? You see, people don't fall into sin. They don't. They walk right into it, headlong. But yet the Spirit of God and God who loves you, and you have the freedom to obey. You are free from the law. You are dead to the law if you're saved, that you might have the life of the Spirit of God. Paul teaches here that he's going to talk about other things that we'll look at later on. But here's the whole idea of this chapter, or this section of Scripture. Paul says you must be free from the law, because the law can only bring sin and death. And you must be free from the law because it can only bring, let me say it again, sin and death. You are free from the rule of the law based on your salvation in Jesus Christ. I'm saved. I have the ability in my freedom to obey God. If I choose not to, I have to live with the consequences of that, just like David did in his sin with Bathsheba, that we're going to actually look at tonight. Now, I've used the plural pronoun. I've said we throughout the message, referring to believers, because he's talking about Jewish believers, Gentile believers. And here's the first thing that you must understand here this morning. You got to make sure that you are legitimately belong to the group called salvation by the saved by the grace of God. And just like the rich young ruler, he said, "Man, Lord, what must I do to be saved?" And the Lord said, "Well, you need to keep the..." Because he thought keeping the law was going to be it. It's not the keeping of the law. "By the keeping of the law, no man shall be justified. By the keeping of the law, no man shall be sanctified." You must make sure you are saved, that you've been born again. Your spiritual condition cannot... And once you're saved, that cannot change. And you must be careful to understand the only way that you can grow and please the Lord is in the power of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. It's good to have standards, and I think we should have standards. I think every person should put standards in their life, but we must understand that is not the essence of Christianity. Holy living is the product of a relationship with Jesus Christ, not human energy. We need to help believers understand this truth, or if we're not careful, we will produce rebels. As a believer, make sure that you're under the loving authority of Jesus Christ, your Lord. Did I say that? Your Lord and your Savior. And by the way, if He is your Lord and He is your Savior, then you'll put things in your life that will help you to be holy. You're free to live for Christ. You have died that you might live. It is Christ who lives within you. Use the law the way Jesus used the law, a schoolmaster, to show us we're wicked. I mean, look at chapter number 1. Look at chapter number 2. The law shows the sinner what he is, a sinner. "Well, I keep the law. I keep the Ten Commandments." Well, you've already broken one. You're a liar. The law shows the sinner his real state, ruined by sin. And anyone who's attempting to get to heaven by the keeping of the law or being good or whatever it might be will fail. Zero. The law has legal power to convict of sin, but no life-giving power to deliver from sin. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said to the Galatians, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And since Jesus lives forever and you have eternal life, you are in a relationship that will never end." I said it will never end. There had to be a death for a new relationship to begin. The moment you repented and placed your faith in Christ, you died to the law and entered into a new relationship, a new marriage, if you would. Dead to the law, dead to sin, married to Christ. And this is not the grounds for lawless living, but rather Christ-like living. I'm going to tell you, folks, the world you live in, people will know whether there's a difference in you or not. If you act like the world, smell like the world, look like the world, act like the world, that's not Christ-likeness. Just living your life pleasing to God makes us peculiar. And I don't know what the problem with that is whatsoever. Because I want people to be saved. I want people to look at our life and the life of our church and be able to say, there's something different about those people. There's something that is salty. There's something that is light. So that people would actually come and be saved by the grace of God. We're not saved because we're good people. We ain't that good. We're saved because of the grace of God. That we entered into a relationship with Him. You are free from the demands of the law to live for Jesus Christ. Amen. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. I want to live for Him. I want to live up here, not down here. Because I want His name to be glorified and to be honored. And Lord, help me to be that kind of person. Help you to be that kind of person. But let me tell you, you can't be that person unless first you're saved by God's grace. You're free from the law, just like you're free. You're dead to sin, dead to the law, free to live a life that is pleasing to God. And that's what we need to do. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. He goes on to say, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it had appeared, sin worketh death in me by that which is good. That sin by commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Lord, I pray this morning that God's people would understand that the Holy Spirit of God that lives within a believer can convict, can challenge, can show them the way in which they are to live, how that they're to be a life pleasing unto the Lord, to show forth the light of the gospel. God, I pray that